Tito. Leaping down upon the underworld to smash gangland comes
the mysterious, all-powerful character who is a problem to the police, but a crusader for law. In reality, Dan Garrett, a rookie patrolman, loved by everyone, but suspected by none of being the Blue Beetle. As the Blue Beetle, he hides behind a strange mask and a suit of impenetrable blue chain armor, flexible as silk, but stronger than steel.
Today's episode of the Fox feature, The Blue Beetle, is entitled Sabotage Incorporated. Throughout the country, foreign spies and saboteurs are busy trying to prevent the shipment of war munitions to countries with whom their native country is at war. New York City is located Explosives Incorporated, one of the largest manufacturers of munitions in the country. Every night, trainloads of munitions leave their factory for some secret destination. As our story opens, Officer Manigan and Patrolman Dan Garrett, who is really the Blue Beetle, are investigating a mysterious telephone call from Wentworth B. Charles, president of Explosives Incorporated, who lives at the Monaco apartment.
Well, here we are at Charles' apartment. Push the button, Donnie.
There's no answer.
Well, let's break in the door.
Now, we'd better call the superintendent. He'll have a pass key.
Is something wrong, officer?
Yeah, who are you?
I'm the superintendent of this building.
Oh, well, we got a mysterious telephone call from Mr. Charles, which he didn't finish. It was of such a nature that we felt it necessary to make an investigation. He doesn't answer his bell or our knocking.
Well, I have a pass key here. I'll unlock the door for you. Something's holding the door shut.
Ned, come on, then. We'll break it in.
No, wait. I'll telephone the owner of the apartment house. He'll,
Well, we can't wait for that. Come on, Danny. Let's break in the door.
All right. Here we go.
There's nobody here.
Look in the bedroom there.
Okay, I'll have a look.
I hope nothing happened to Mr. Charles. He's one of our best tenants.
Hey, Johnny. Look. Here's Mr. Charles and his...
What is it, Mike? Is he dead?
I think so. Look. There. Over his heart.
A wound.
Yeah. Right through his pajamas. A 22 bullet, I'd bet.
No, it's a stab wound.
That's Mr. Charles, all right. Is he dead?
Yes.
Who could have done it?
That's what the police would like to know. That's what we have to find out.
Well, I don't see any weapon.
Look for an ice pick or a thin stiletto.
Okay, I'll have a look around the apartment.
Hadn't I better telephone the owner of the building?
Not yet. And don't leave the apartment.
Yes, but whose apartment adjoins this on the bedroom side? Professor Vladimir Deniscu's.
What's his business?
I believe he lectures on anthropology.
Does he live alone?
He has a male secretary who lives with him, I believe.
Who lives on the other side, next to the living room?
Oh, that apartment is vacant.
Did Mr. Charles live alone?
Yes.
Apparently, Mr. Charles was killed while he was phoning. The receiver is still off the hook there, and his body is lying in front of a telephone table.
Yes, it looks that way.
Well, say, I can't find any sign of a dagger or ice pick anywhere. There's an electric ice box in the kitchen, so I don't think Mr. Charles would be needing an ice pick himself.
What about the windows?
They're all locked.
Any fire escape?
Nope. It's a 14-story drop to the street on all sides.
How many floors above this, Superintendent?
15.
Any other entrances to this apartment?
Only a service door in the kitchen.
Yeah, I looked at that. It's locked and bolted from the inside, and there's no knob on the outside of the door.
Well, Mike, you'd better phone the coroner. I'll just have a look around the apartment. Then I'd like to question the professor and his secretary. Maybe they can throw some light on this case.
Oh, good evening, Professor.
Good evening.
I'm
What can I do for you?
This officer would like to ask you some questions.
There's been some trouble next door, and the police are interested in getting some information.
Won't you come in, please?
Thanks.
Now, what is it you would like to know, officer? I am sure I cannot be of any assistance to you.
Did you hear any commotion or unusual noise tonight in Mr. Charles' apartment?
No, nothing. In fact, I have been so busy with my studies that I doubt if I would have heard any noise coming from anywhere. When I am doing my research work, I concentrate very deeply.
Do you have any children, Professor?
Me? No, officer. I am not married.
That gun there, do you use that in your research?
Oh, that? That belongs to my secretary. He is off tonight. He bought it for his little boy. It is an air rifle. Hardly strong enough to...
Do what?
I mean, it has the appearance of a real gun, but it would be no good for hunting game other than small birds, I assure you. Here, have a look.
Yes, I can see you're right. I presume a BB shot from this air rifle would hardly have enough force behind it to kill a man.
Kill a man? Has someone been killed?
Yes, Professor. Mr. Charles, your next-door neighbor, was murdered less than an hour ago.
You know, Danny, this case is very, very puzzling.
Very, Doc. But the Blue Beetle's going to solve the puzzle.
How?
I'm going to revisit the Charles apartment alone and do a little private investigating.
Danny, what do you think is back of this murder?
Sabotage of some sort. I'm positive it has something to do with a train of munitions and guns being shipped to Canada.
Well, be careful, Danny boy. If your suspicions are correct, you'll run into a ruthless gang of murderers.
I know that. But the Blue Beetle can handle them.
Have you everything you need?
This Blue Beetle chain armor and mask, my magic ray and spotlight are all I'll need tonight. I'm traveling light because I've got to travel fast. The Blue Beetle's going to solve a murder and strike a blow for humanity.
Bedroom. The body's been removed. But nothing else has been disturbed in the bedroom here. That picture on the wall there, facing the spot where Charles was sitting when he was killed. It doesn't hang straight. I'll have a look.
You understand what I mean?
A hole in the wall back of the picture. Just large enough for a rifle barrel and to hear conversation.
Now, here. Here is the railroad map again.
Yes, I see.
The munitions train will approach a bridge to Canada over the gorge along this track here.
Yeah.
Now, our major plan is to blow up the bridge as the munitions train is passing over. But if for some reason our men are unable to place the charge of explosives under the bridge, our alternate plan is to wreck the train and block the entrance in the entire road, as well as destroy the munitions aboard the train.
Well, how will we know in advance which plan to follow?
I'm expecting a call any minute from our leaders at Rosno, near the border.
Then as soon as you get word, I'll be on my way.
Yes. Your job is to take care of any guards at the American side of the bridge.
Yes, I understand. This'll take care of them.
Oh, the air pistol that shoots glass pellets filled with suffocating gas, huh?
Yes. It makes very little noise. Whoever is shot with it remains unconscious for a long, long time.
Oh, good. Now, there are two planes tuned up and waiting out of the Levi's airfield. You take one of them.
All right. And you're sure no one suspects our plot?
Positive. I liquidated Charles before he could telephone the police.
What about money?
Here. Here is $1,000 for expenses.
Okay.
When the job is done, there'll be plenty more where this came from.
Good.
Hello? Yes? You what? Yes, we're ready at this end. Wait. Here's Igor now. Just a minute. I'll ask him. Well, what about it, Igor?
The munition train is loaded and will pull out for Canada in 10 minutes.
Hello. Rinaldo. Igor informs me that the train will pull out in 10 minutes. Yes, all right. Everything is moving smoothly. We'll be with you soon. Goodbye.
What's that?
There.
I can't imagine what that could... That's the Blue Beetle.
Yes, the Blue Beetle, and he's going to nip. You have an ingenious method of entering, Mr. Blue Beetle. Did you by any chance fly to my window? And just what do you want?
I overheard your whole plot from the next apartment and crawled along the ledge outside the window.
Then he knows...
Everything. And I'm going to turn you over to the police. All of you. Get away from that phone, Professor, or I'll burn you with my magic ray.
Oh, no, you won't, Blue Beetle, because you won't be able
to. Put down that gun.
Don't begin.
There. That'll fix Mr. Blue Beetle.
Let us get out of here. The gas is making me sick.
And what about the Blue Beetle?
You'll tie him up and take him down to the freight yard and put him aboard the munition train. The Blue Beetle will have a rude awakening sometime in the early morning hours.
What will happen to the Blue Beetle now? How soon will he recover from the effects of the suffocating gas? Can he save the shipment of munitions to Canada from destruction? Which plan will the saboteurs put into effect? These questions will be answered in the next episode of The Blue Beetle. Copyrighted Fox feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine and the Blue Beetle magazine. The Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspapers. And don't forget to listen in to the Blue Beetle.
Character who is a problem to the police, but a crusader for law. In reality, Dan Garrett, a rookie patrolman, loved by everyone, but suspected by none of being the Blue Beetle. As the Blue Beetle, he hides behind a strange mask and a suit of impenetrable blue chain armor, flexible as silk, but stronger than steel.
Feature, The Blue Beetle, is the second part of a story entitled Sabotage Incorporated. In the previous episode, Wentworth B. Charles, president of Explosive Incorporated, has been stabbed to death, apparently with an ice pick, as he was phoning the police about a shipment of munitions. Investigation discloses no murder weapon and no clues to the killer. All doors and windows of the Charles apartment were securely locked and bolted from the inside. A later secret investigation by Dan Garrett as the Blue Beetle discloses that the occupants of an adjoining apartment, a Professor Daniskew and his male secretary, are part of a sabotage ring whose purpose is to destroy a trainload of explosives and war munitions as it passes over the Rocky Gorge Bridge from the United States to Canada. As the Blue Beetle confronts them, he is rendered unconscious by a suffocating gas shot from an air pistol by a young girl named Vicky, one of the conspirators. As the episode ends, the conspirators plan to dispose of the Blue Beetle by dumping his bound and unconscious body aboard a munitions train which is to be destroyed. As our story opens today, Vicky is on her way in a private plane to Rosno, near the Canadian border, to supervise operations at the bridge. The professor, and Igor are to follow as soon as they dispose of the Blue Beetle.
Well, Professor, here we are at the freight yard.
Yes, and if I'm not mistaken, that's the train with a load of guns and explosives aboard.
Yes, it's moving.
Yeah, we'll have to hurry. Give me a hand with the Blue Beetle here.
Yes. All right.
There you go.
Oh, he's heavy.
Yeah, it's his chain armor. Oh. Now, here comes an empty dump car.
Yes.
We throw him in. One, two, three. There he is. Farewell, Blue Beetle. You may reach heaven when the train blows up, but you won't stay long.
For some time.
Have you got any idea what he might be?
He said something about working on this explosive.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I ain't seen him.
What's that, Mike, in your hand? A present for your youngster?
Oh, that. That's an air rifle. I found it in the apartment next to where Charles was killed.
Find anything else?
Nothing much, except this. Any idea what it might be, Doc?
It's an aluminum mold of some sort.
Yeah, for making knitting needles or something, but... What would the professor be wanting?
Wait, Mike. I've got it.
He's got what?
The weapon that killed Mr. Charles.
What do you mean, Doc?
That aluminum mold was filled with water and placed in an electric refrigerator. The water froze into little sharp pointed icicles about the size of an ice pick blade.
Yeah, I can see that.
Then they were shot from that air rifle at the victim. Even though the air rifle looked innocent enough, it is a particular type with sufficient air propulsion to make those needle-pointed icicles penetrate deep into the victim's body where they melted, leaving no trace.
But how could the murderer get to him? The door and windows was locked and bolted from the inside.
The murderers probably bored a small hole through the wall and shot him from their apartment.
That's it. That's what happened. Well, Doc, I got to get down to headquarters now and report.
Give me that red lantern.
What are you going to do?
Bail out of my parachute and wave this red. Well, we're almost to the bridge, Sam.
Yeah, 5 more miles and our job will be done.
And glad I'll be. In 30 years of railroading, this is the toughest job I've ever had. Hauling 50 cars of explosives and war equipment to Canada ain't my idea of a soft snap.
Yeah, no telling when you may run into an open switch or a pile of ties on the track. There's plenty of foreign spies would like to wreck a train load like this.
Hey, listen to that plane.
Yeah, must be something important to bring that guy out on a stormy night like this.
Hey, there's no lights in the switch house.
You better slow down.
Green signal's up.
Yeah, but you never can tell.
Well, keep an eye out on your side as we reach the switch to the Rosno's spur track.
Okay. Hey, look there.
Where?
Up there in the sky, ahead.
Hey, it's the cruising lights of the airplane.
Yeah, but look underneath it.
Well, I'll be. There's a red light falling and swinging from side to side.
Hey, maybe he's signaling us to stop. Look. There's a guy in a parachute that's dropped out of the plane.
And he's waving a red lantern.
That's strange.
Well, there's the bridge right ahead.
Maybe something's wrong with the bridge.
All the signal lights have been green.
Except the red lantern on the plane.
Well, here goes the brake. I hope I can bring this train to a stop on these slippery rails.
Well, so long, Blue Beetle, and thanks a million.
Okay. Give my regards to your neighbors across the border. Tell them we Americans are glad we both speak the same language in more ways than one.
And so the Blue Beetle prevented a frightful tragedy and through sheer nerve outwitted a clever band of foreign saboteurs and murderers. The moral of this story is that there never would be the perfect crime. Crimes like the murder of Mr. Charles, no matter how strangely and cleverly done, will always be found out and the guilty punished. Further adventures of the Blue Beetle will be presented in the next episode of The Blue Beetle. Fox feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine and the Blue Beetle magazine. The Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspapers. And don't forget to listen in to The Blue Beetle.